Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Today, we are going to be looking at one of the most famous stories in the Bible. It is the story of David and Goliath. This is a well-known story, but the Lord wants to bring fresh understanding and application to us today. Let's now join Pastor John and get right to this study in 1 Samuel chapter 17.
1 Samuel chapter 17. I remember it well, walking in the lobby of the Grand Hotel. We were there at the Grand Hotel in Anaheim, close to Disneyland. It was a nice hotel at that time. That was when I was in college. And we were there for our fraternity dinner. It was held at the Grand Hotel. And a bunch of us guys were walking through the lobby feeling kind of studly. We turned a corner and went down a hallway to the ballroom where the dinner was being held. And as we turned the corner, I found myself suddenly eyeball to navel, eyeball to belly button, with the tallest guy I have ever seen in all of my life. In fact, he was the tallest guy in the world at that time. His name? Henry Height. He was 8'2". Now, I don't know if you've ever been around a guy that's 6'9 or 6'10. It's pretty intimidating. 6'9 or 6'10 can seem to be really tall. I've been around some 7-footers before, and it's amazing. When you're around a 7-foot guy, even though I'm over 6 feet, but around a 7-footer, it's just incredible. But when you come eyeball to navel with a guy who's 8'2", it's inexplicable what happens to you. You just stand there, and we, the guys that were with me, looked up and up and up and up, and there was Henry. And he just looked down at us and sighed, opened his sport coat vest pocket, and took out from inside some long photo picture postcards of himself. He carries them wherever he goes. On the back is all the vital statistics, how high he is, how much he weighs, his shoe size, how big he was when he was born, the whole deal. He just has to pass these out wherever he goes because everybody wants to know, you see. 8'2", Henry Height. But he was a pipsqueak in comparison to the guy who's in our story. Henry was a small fry in comparison to this guy. This is a real story. It truly happened. There was a man by the name of Goliath who was huge. How big? Well, depending on what a cubit and a span is, those biblical units of measurement, and there's some controversy, he would be at least minimally 9'9" and perhaps 11'6". Now, even if we take the lower figure, 9'9", this guy is a big boy, believe you me. 11'6", that's incomprehensible to me. But here's this guy named Goliath. His friends called him Golly. And, of course, in our story, when he died, all they could say was, "By golly," a phrase that's still with us to this day. Be that as it may, let's read about this guy and glean some lessons, if we may. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. They were gathered together at Shoco, which belongs to Judah. The Philistines were in God's country, in the territory of Judah, at Shoco, from which came a famous lady, Miss Ono. You might know her, Shoko Ono. But be that as it may, that didn't really happen. She wasn't really from there. But here they are, the Philistines that day, in the territory of Judah, at Shoco. And Saul, verse 2, and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah. The Philistines, verse 3, stood on a mountain, a hill, really, on one side, and Israel on a hill on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So there in this rural, remote region of Judah, the valley of Elah, two hills. On one hill were the Philistines. On the other hill were the men of Israel. Now, verse 4, there went out a champion from the camp of the Philistines. His name, Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, or 9'9" to 11'6". He had a helmet of brass on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, or approximately 200 pounds. A coat of mail. Hey, this mailman could deliver. I mean, he had 200 pounds of mail on him as a coat to protect him. 200 pounds his vest weighed. The guy must have had massive muscles. He must have been of incredible size and strength to wear a coat of mail that would weigh in at 200 pounds or more. He also, verse 6, had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff, verse 7, the shaft, if you would, of his spear was like a weaver's beam. The spear shaft was like a weaver's beam in size. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, or approximately 25 pounds. And college eye threw the discus and occasionally putted the shot. The shot put, that round ball that people put, push, throw, 16 pounds. It's heavy. World's record is somewhere around 75 feet for putting the shot. This guy, the tip of his spear, wasn't 16 pounds, 25 pounds, just the tip of the spear, not counting the shaft, which was like a weaver's beam, and he didn't put it, he chucked it. The guy must have been one strong fella, without question. I can't imagine this. This really happened. His spear tip was 25 pounds. He stood and cried, verse 8, before the armies of Israel. "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul, their king? Choose you a man, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will all be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I guess so. Choose a man. Goliath said that day. Send a man to me. Send a man my way, and we'll go one-on-one. And the guy who wins the whole war, you see. So choose a man. Saul was dismayed because Saul, as you know, was the tallest guy in Israel. He was head and shoulders above all others, which means that he would be the logical choice for the Israelite army. He knew that. He was greatly dismayed. All of them were afraid. Now, the plot thickens. David enters in. He was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem whose name was Jesse. Now, Jesse had 8 sons. And the 3 oldest ones, verse 13, they went and followed Saul to this battle. Their names, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, are listed there. David was the youngest, verse 14, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. As we have seen, David was the runt of the litter. He was the 8th son, the one that others looked down on and had no real hopes for in our story that we read previously. But David emerges amazingly. David went, verse 15, and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep there at Bethlehem. You might recall that David was playing the harp for Saul. When David was but a boy, he went and played the harp because David was a cunning and skillful musician. And he would play the harp and sing praises to God, and it brought relief to Saul, King Saul, who at this time was being harassed by demons. He was going crazy. But when David played and praised, it was soothing to Saul's soul and caused the demons to flee away. So David had been in the presence of Saul earlier, but now some time has passed. David had left the court of Saul. Now he's back home in Bethlehem, and he's taking care of his dad's sheep. David was there. Now the Philistine, verse 16, Goliath, drew near morning and evening. This enemy, from the beginning of the day till the end, he was harassing and haranguing God's people. He presented himself, verse 16 says, 40 days. Now, 40 in the Bible is the number of testing and trial. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness being tested and the trials that took place there. 40 days it rained in Noah's time. 40 days Jesus was tested of Satan in the desert when he first began his ministry. 40 is the number of testing, you see. And here is a test, here is a trial. Day by day, Goliath stomps up and down the valley of Elah and challenges the men of Israel. Well, verse 17, Jesse, David's dad, said to his son, take now for your brothers an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves of bread and run to the camp where your brothers are and take these 10 cheeses to the captain, the big cheese. And look and see how your brothers are, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they, the brothers, and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah preparing to fight with the Philistines. Jesse the dad said to David, the youngest son, take this bread to your brothers and these cheeses to their captain, thinking that perhaps maybe if you give these cheeses to the big cheese, maybe he'll take care of your brothers and watch out for my boys. Kind of a bribe, if you would. And Jesse is concerned about his oldest sons. David, go see how they're doing. Take the cheese to the captain and give this bread to your brethren. So, verse 20, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep that he was watching with a keeper. And he took and went as his dad commanded him. He came to the place as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. David, verse 22, left his supplies in the hand of the keeper of supplies, and he ran to where the army was and came and greeted his brethren. 23, as he talked with them, behold, as he was chatting with his brothers right then, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. He came out of the armies of the Philistines and spoke the same words that he was speaking before. Send me a man. Let me at him. And all the men of Israel, verse 24, when they saw Goliath, they fled. They were very afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who kills Goliath, King Saul, will enrich that man with great riches. And King Saul will give that man his daughter to be his wife. And he'll allow that man's house, his family, to be totally free. Verse 26, David spoke to the guys that stood by him saying, hey, what did you say? Repeat. What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Well, the people answered him, verse 27, and once again told David what would be done to the man that would take on the Philistine and do him in. Well, then, verse 28, David's oldest brother, Eliab, when he saw that David was talking to the other soldiers about these things, his anger was kindled against David, his little brother. And he said to David, why camest thou down here? Why did you come down here? Why are you here? Why did you come down to us, David? And who did you leave your sheep with, those sheep that you're supposed to be watching? I know the pride in your heart and the naughtiness that's there, for you came down to see the battle. You came to watch us get our clocks cleaned. You came to see the blood and the guts, David. I know all about you, his brother said. Verse 29, David declared, what have I done? Hey, what cause is there? What proof do you have? Why do you say these things? David said protestingly to his older brothers that day. And then verse 30, he turned from him toward another, and he spoke after the same manner and said, now tell me again, what's going to be done for the guy that wins the battle? And verse 31, they spoke the same words again. And when the words were heard, which David said, that is, hey, why should we be afraid of this uncircumcised Philistine? And what's the prize going to be for the guy that gets the victory? They went, verse 31 says, and rehearsed these words in Saul's ear, the king's ear, saying, King Saul, there's a guy out there who's saying, why should we be afraid? And he's really interested in the prize that you're going to give that day. David was then brought before Saul. Saul sent for him. And David, verse 32, then said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Hey, I will go, your servant, me, David said, I'll go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, you are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth, you're a kid. And the man that you're going against is a man of war from his youth. You don't have a chance, David. You're just a kid, and he's been a giant of a guy and a hero in his country from the time he was a boy, you see. And David said to Saul, verse 34, hold on, Saul. Your servant, me, I kept my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb from the flock I was watching. And I went out after that lion and smote him and delivered the lamb from the mouth of the lion. And when that lion rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. I'm not lying, David said. Bear with me. I'm not afraid. I've taken on the lion. I wiped out the bear. God has given me victory before. And he says, your servant slew both the lion and the bear, verse 36. So this uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, shall be as one of them, seeing that he, Goliath, hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, listen, verse 37. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul heard that. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul, feeling, I'm sure, bad about sending a boy into the battle, he armed David with his own armor. Saul gave to David Saul's armor. He put a helmet of brass on David's head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded Saul's sword upon his armor. And he was going to go, but now he stops. He's got Saul's helmet on. He's got Saul's sword at his side. He's got Saul's coat of mail round about. And he stops. And he says in verse 39, David said to Saul, I can't go with these. I haven't proved them. I haven't used a sword like this before. I haven't worn a coat of mail previously. This isn't who I am. This isn't what I do. I can't go with this stuff. I haven't used these things before. And David, watch this, put them off. He took off the helmet. He laid down the sword. He removed the coat of mail. And then he took what he was comfortable with. Verse 40, he took a stick, a staff. A shepherd would use a staff to work with the sheep. And he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, and his sling was in his hand. This really happened. I mean, here's a little guy, a young boy, a young man, going to the brook, grabbing 5 smooth stones to do battle with a guy that's perhaps 11 feet tall. Why 5? Because 5 is the number in the Bible of grace. David knew that the victory was going to come, not because he's wearing Saul's armor, but because of God's grace. Grace is unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. And David realizes victory is going to come not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of God's grace. 5 is the number of grace, 5 stones. But wait, perhaps even more important than that is this. Why 5 stones? Did David think it was going to take 5 shots to bring down the big guy? I don't think so. But you see, Goliath had 4 brothers.
Interesting. David is a small guy who thinks big. He is not fearful of taking on Goliath because he was confident in God's grace. And he knew that God's grace was big enough to handle the 4 brothers if necessary. We need to have that kind of understanding of God as well. We need to remember that our God is a big God. There is nothing too difficult for him. We will continue this wonderful story on our next program. Please join us again then. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
We are all on a journey in this life. If you are a believer in God, your journey is taking you to heaven. To help us keep our eyes on our destination, we have a book available called A Place for You, Reflections on Heaven. This book, taken from sermons that John has given, focuses on the hope of heaven. Heaven is a real place, and it is not that far away. This book is for everyone who longs for that day when we will be in heaven with our Savior. You may order A Place for You from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.